following program was pre-recorded. To ask a question on the air, call 1-800-229-3000 Monday through Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific. Welcome to New Life Live, the premier place to receive free advice from Christian psychologists and counselors for the mental, emotional, relational, and spiritual challenges you face. Since 1988, we've offered compassionate responses that combine God's truth with proven psychological principles to guide you toward healing. Our phone lines are open. Call us now at 1-800-229-3000.
Hello and welcome to New Life Live. I'm your host, Brian Perez. The phone number to call, 1-800-229-3000. And bear in mind, we're only going to be in the studio for 1 hour today. So hurry up, start calling in. 1-800-229-3000 is the number. Here to answer your questions, we've got Dr. Jim Burns, the founder of Homeward. How you doing, Jim?
Very good. And I'm excited today.
Because
this next guy that you're going to introduce, his book comes out today and tomorrow. And I read the book and I loved it.
Yes. And that guy is licensed marriage and family therapist, Mark Cameron. What's going on? Do you have those jitters? Are you excited about
it? Man, I'm super excited because my book releases tomorrow, December 2nd. And I want to share why I wrote this book. For many years, I wasn't aware of the reactions in myself
Here we go. My mic wasn't working here. Well, I'll start again.
Yes.
Well, my book officially releases tomorrow. I'm super excited, and I want to share why I wrote this book. So for many years, I was aware of reactions in myself that I didn't like, but I didn't know how to stop them. Mm-hmm. And I was raised in a Christian home, and so I knew what God says about how we should treat one another. But what I didn't realize was how my childhood home had shaped me to have very specific and very common attachment wounds. And that was until I read How We Love by Mylan and Kay Yerkovich and the vast later chapter in their book that totally blew me away because it described me in ways that I didn't have for myself, but I immediately knew were true. Now, around that same time, I was switching careers to become a marriage and family therapist, and I looked at Mylan and Kay, and when I found out that they lived in Southern California, I reached out to them, and I wanted to see if they would hire me, and there's a longer story in the book about that, but the short version is they did. But even though I finally was aware of the problem, my patterns and reactivity, they're so deeply ingrained, they were hard to shake. Because lifelong habits are just difficult to break here. So I needed to know the daily practices. And after all, because how was I going to help people if I couldn't help myself as a therapist? So that set me on a deeper mission to understand the growth process for an individual. And through studying the research, doing my own internal work, helping others through this process, I was able to identify consistent attachment patterns that each attachment style has. And so my book is designed as a growth manual for people to earn secure attachment, which is the research word for it. And so it's divided into three parts. The first part is develop insight. So that's all about how we're wired to bond, what attachment is, how it shapes us. The second part is becoming aware, a detailed look at all the attachment styles so that the reader can self-identify, and a look at earn secure attachment style, which is where healing and growth occurs, and then show up to practice. What are the daily practices that each person needs to do to earn their way to secure attachment? And so this is a reconditioning process. And when you do it, your emotional wounds will heal. So humans have the longest attachment phase of any animal on this planet. We're with our parents longer than any other animal are. And there's a design for that. God designed that. Right, and so attachment research and neuroscience affirm that that's the way that we are designed to wire together and be in secure relationship with one another. So my book isn't just for couples, it's for anyone. People who are single, people who are married, dating, divorced, and even those who have a spouse who's unwilling to grow. Because when you become more secure, you create that different relational environment, and that often invites others to join you in a secure relationship. So don't stay stuck like I did. There's a way out of reactivity, and by understanding your attachment style, you too can learn to grow. And New Life is the best place for our listeners to get the book.
Yep, newlife.com. It's called Understanding Your Attachment Style, and the book comes out tomorrow, but you can get on Mark's nice list by pre-ordering it today, and you get some other goodies too when you pre-order, and I'll tell you what those are when we come back from the break. And we're going to go to the phones with Ruth. You're going to be our first caller here to New Life Live.
I went to Every Man's Battle in 2012. My sexual integrity was not what it should have been. I sought out affairs, whether physical or emotional. Until I came to Every Man's Battle, I didn't understand that would never fill that void.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, affairs, pornography.
The shame and guilt was overwhelming.
For over 20 years, New Life Ministries has been helping men regain their integrity through their one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive.
You will discover what the true root of your pain is, and you will discover how to overcome.
You don't have to struggle any longer. Get help in Washington, D.C., December 5th through the 7th. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE to register or to find out more. 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com. Enter the code NLL for a discount.
Every man's battle saved my life.
1-800-NEW-LIFE and the discount code NLL. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
So yes, tomorrow the book comes out. It's called Understanding Your Attachment Style by licensed marriage and family therapist Mark Cameron. And you can still pre-order it today. There's some goodies that you get when you order through New Life, and they are a companion workbook, a video introduction to attachment styles with Mark and Becky Brown, president of New Life Ministries, and the Developing Healthy Relationships ebook. So all these are exclusives that you can get at newlife.com. You don't have to pre-order to get the exclusives, if I'm not mistaken. But hey, like I said, you'll be on Mark's nice list. And who doesn't want to be on Mark's nice list, right? So get it today at newlife.com. The book comes out tomorrow, so you'll receive it in the mail. They'll probably ship it tomorrow morning or tonight or something, and you'll get it soon. Again, it's called Understanding Your Attachment Style. And Jim, you've read the book ahead of time.
You know what? I read the book, and I want to be on his nice list. He's just a nice guy.
Yes. I mean,
anytime he talks, I love that, you know, amazing accent he has. But I found the book to be very helpful in relationships. And I actually thought about it with one of my adult children, too. So like Mark said, it's not just for marriage. I thought about it with marriage because Kathy and I, for 51 years, have worked on our intimacy and attachment issues, right? But I found it was really helpful with one of my daughters, too. Just very, very helpful. Very, very. I said to him when I read the book, it's a standout book. Mm-hmm. And I think there are certain books that can change your life by reading it. And this is one of those books. Yeah, so I think our people better go get it. And whatever those freebies are, that sounds great.
Yes. Again, go to newlife.com to get the book. And now let's go to the phones. 1-800-229-3000 is the number. We're only in studio for 1 hour today. So call in to talk with Jim and Mark. Here is Ruth, who listens to us in Los Angeles on KKLA. Hello, Ruth. Welcome to New Life Live.
Hi, can you guys hear me?
Yep, loud and clear.
Okay, here we go. I was just praying, you guys. I'm like, Lord, show me what to say. There's so much, you guys, that I've gone through in the last 5 years with my adult son and his wife. I don't even know where to begin. I feel like I'm going crazy. The things that they do is bizarre. And I just don't get it.
Like what?
They're very manipulative and deceitful, and they use gaslighting too. Like, for example, my daughter-in-law will make arrangements to see I have two grandchildren, a 2-year-old and a 5-year-old. And they were taking my 5-year-old to Disneyland, and I actually offered to watch the 2-year-old, so he was one at the time, so he didn't have to go. So the plan was I was going to get my older grandson later on that evening when they got back from Legoland, and they were going to take my 1-year-old grandson home. So when they dropped off my 1-year-old grandson, I tell my 5-year-old grandson, I'll see you later because you're coming back to spend the night with me. That was the plan. So my daughter-in-law goes, no, that's not what we agreed. We agreed that you would take the 1-year-old. And we would keep the 5-year-old. And I'm like, no, that's not what we said. Mm. And she's done that before. She's changed. I used to have a Samsung Android where you can actually go in a Samsung and change the whole conversation. I don't know if you guys are aware of that. iPhone, you can't do it. But Samsung Android, you can. So we had a discussion again that the kids were going to come over on a certain day. She changed our whole conversation and said, no, you agreed to having them come this day. And I'm like, no, I didn't. Hmm. So I have to really, like, pay attention to what I'm saying.
Right.
My son won't correct her. He collaborates with her. They make up stories where they, you know, have these weddings that they want to go to and find out that they're at home talking to my grandchildren, but they're supposed to be in Santa Barbara, but they're at home.
So what's your main question for us today, Ruth?
So my main question is, at what point, I mean, this has been going on for 5 years. They don't honor my boundary. They outright lie to me. They're verbally abusive toward me. They don't care. I'm being used. But I have my grandchildren that I love, and they know that. They weaponize me with my grandchildren. At what point do I just walk away? I have a cancer diagnosis, you guys. Mm. I have vertigo, and I also have a 17-year-old who has medical issues. And I'm just exhausted dealing with them.
Yeah. Jim, what would you say to Ruth?
Wait, Ruth, you've got a weight, and you just added major weight. You were talking about just a relationship with your daughter-in-law and with your son, and, you know, that side of the family, and then you all of a sudden went to 17 with medical issues and cancer. So the weight is huge.
Yeah.
And first, I want to say to you, make sure that you have a circle of support around you. Make sure you have people who, in your world, and it's not going to be them, by the way, and it's not going to be your 17-year-old, probably. I mean, she's 17. So you've got to put, you know, people around you who can help you work through this stuff and give you the support and the love that you need and deserve. And you're so articulate, and I'm glad you're staying in the story. I tell people all the time when they're in it's almost an abusive type thing. The gaslighting, I mean, you describe gaslighting. Sometimes people don't understand gaslighting. You just described it perfectly in terms of what is happening to you. So you got to be around people who believe in Ruth, who love Ruth, and I hope you find that support. And if you don't, you know, a lot of times you can find it in a church, small group. You can find it in one of the life groups here at New Life. But be around people who go, okay, this is crazy, and just acknowledge some of the stuff you're going through. But secondly, you can't fix them, but a lot of times I think parents try to fix their adult kids who are lying and, you know, telling stories and doing all this stuff. But you can stay in their story, especially if you have support. So I'm going to suggest strongly that you do stay in the story, but make sure you do it with that support. And then also, the boundaries, you know, keep those good boundaries, but be as flexible as you can, because she's throwing weird stuff on the on the babysitting things and whatnot. That's just tough. But if you get into a I'm right and you're wrong, I don't hear you saying this too much, but if you get into a I'm right and you're wrong, you're going to potentially lose them. And you don't want to lose them for those grandkids. So keep loving on the grandkids. And I'll let Mark, you know, speak into it too, I mean, on a much deeper level. But honestly, the practical side says, you know, love those grandkids, be as flexible as you can. And if you can't have the 5-year-old, take the 1-year-old and do what you can and show them love. They'll as time goes on, they'll want be the ones who will say, I want to, you know, get together with grandma. Take care of your health too. Mm-hmm. And so you got a lot on your plate. This is one of many things that you're dealing with. Make sure you got the support.
Yeah. Mark.
Yeah. Ruth, why do you think they lie to you about maybe it's just some small issues here?
You know what? I've been studying and praying and asking God to give me just wisdom and insight on what's going on with them. And can I tell you, my daughter-in-law checked the boxes for covert narc, and my son has overt narc behavior, and his bio dad and my ex does as well. So I think that they have just mental issues, because the things that they do don't make sense.
What's the benefit for them, though? Like, when, if you agree to look after their kids, I mean, if they had just told you what they expected in the first place, would you not have agreed to it? What's the benefit of them changing it at the last minute and then pretending that's what was said in the first place?
Well, I think because my daughter-in-law she doesn't like no, and she wants to make sure she gets her needs met, and telling me that they're going to a wedding, because I've said that I like to bless them and I like to, you know, be there for them. So telling me that they're going to these multiple weddings, that assures them that they can get me to say yes. So it's about them getting an absolute yes, which I would say yes most of the time. If I'm not busy or if I'm not feeling well, then I won't say yes. But I think that it's just a manipulation tactic just to get her needs met. And she's done this multiple times. That's why she changed, you know, the text.
Yeah.
And she doesn't like no. And she's very entitled and very self-centered. There's no freedom in the relationship. Mm-hmm. I can't say you guys are hurting. I've said this. I don't like when there's dishonesty. And I'm called the narcissist or I'm selfish if I stand up.
Well, let me give you a thought here. So my first line usually is just to address what the problem is to go to the person and sit down and say, hey, can we have a conversation? And then talk about the problem, affirm the relationship. I love you guys. I care about you. Here's what I see happening. You present it from a subjective point of view, and then you talk about your internal experience with it. If you do that, if you've done that, or you do that and it doesn't go well, then you have to figure out, what do I learn in this relationship with this person? This person kind of bends the rules. They try and change the boundaries. And so what you may have to do is when they make a request of you, one, you can take screenshots on your phone if you really do need to prove and say, hey, this is what was said. So that could be one thing that you could do. But again, this is not about doing an aha and I caught you moment. You also, as Jim said, you get to have boundaries. And so if you know that people behave in a certain way, you can learn to anticipate what that could be. And you can then think about, you know, well, I suspect that they're going to ask me to watch their child, my grandchildren, too, overnight, even though I've only agreed during the day. So you can anticipate whether that's something that you could do. And then you can also say, you know what, I don't remember saying that. I'm so sorry if there was a confusion here. I can't do that. You get to either change your mind or you get to say, I don't remember agreeing to that. I'm so sorry. I haven't planned for that. And then that puts them back into a position where they've got to figure it out. I would tell my kids this when, you know, they're 20 now, but I would tell them that, you know, parents have parent prerogative. You know, lots of times parents think, well, if I just tell my kids one thing, and I know this is not the case with you, but I'm just using it as an example. Sometimes parents think, well, if I told my kid that they can do this, so now I have to let them do it, even though I've found out some new information about it. But parents have parent prerogative. You get to change your mind if you realize something is harmful for your child. And I think in this situation, you also get to change your mind at times. But again, I recognize this is not a changing your mind thing. This is them manipulating you. But you get to say, I don't remember doing that. I don't remember saying that, and I can't do it. But as Jim's saying, it's this fine balance, because you don't want to isolate yourself from not being able to see your grandkids. But having strong boundaries, I think, for yourself is going to be key here.
Yeah. Jim, any other thoughts from you?
I would just simply add, because I really like what Mark said, Ruth, you got to be the parent, you got to be the adult in the room. And that's hard, especially when they're adults, but they're not acting like adults. So when you do that, and sometimes you do have to say a very good boundary is, I can't do that. I'd love to, but I can't. And if I said that, I apologize, because you must have misunderstood me, or, you know, I just don't remember saying that. You know, now you're being the adult in the room. And even sometimes when they have good boundaries and they hear good boundaries, and we think of boundaries as being build walls. I'm not saying building big walls. I'm just simply saying, here's what I can do, here's what I can't. What happens then is they begin to almost respect your boundaries because they're used to it. The only other thing I would say, and she's going to be a tough one, is that usually the way to your grandchildren and your son is through your daughter-in-law, and she's a tough one. So, you know, if you can put any kind of energy and time into her with a Starbucks, you know, meeting or whatever it is, and not talk about any of the negative stuff. Talk about her and ask how she's doing. But, you know, build into her. She's going to open up then more when she has what she feels like a trusted, safe relationship with you. There was a hint that and this is where I don't really understand it, is there's a hint where I didn't see them, you don't feel safe with them, but I didn't see them feeling totally safe with you too. I don't know where that comes from. But you know, you might want to put some energy into the daughter-in-law, as much as that doesn't sound joyous to you. It wouldn't be to me either.
Any other thoughts, Mark? We're about to go to break.
I think Jim's book would be a great book.
Yeah.
Doing Life with Your Adult Children.
I agree. Look at that. I've got a copy of it right here. Doing Life with Your Adult Children by Dr. Jim Burns. It is in the newlife.com store for purchase for anyone listening to the conversation we just had with Ruth and wondering, you know what? That's kind of what I'm going through right now. And I think I can use that book too. But Ruth, we're going to send this to you at no cost. And thank you so much for calling in today. And if you are in a similar situation as Ruth or anything else that you're going through, we're going to be here for a few more minutes, another half hour or so. No, 45 minutes, 40 minutes, something like that. I can't do the math this early. I need more coffee. 1-800-229-3000. We're only in the studio for this hour. So please call in with your questions and we'll get to them as soon as we can with Mark Cameron and Dr. Jim Burns on New Life Live.
Hello, everybody. It's Becky Brown, and I'm coming to you with an urgent need. There are many people that are in difficult relationships, difficult places in their lives.
How do I navigate through that and not to hurt my son?
We had some generous friends of New Life that started a matching gift, and every gift will be doubled up to $475,000. The matching window closes December 31st, so don't wait. Every moment matters in recovery, healing, and restoration.
I do a lot of work in my local church, and so just being able to hear y'all work through some of these situations really helps me to have some insight on how to help others.
Make your gift today by going to newlife.com, click on donate, or text the word match to 28950. You can also call us 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Together, we will bring hope and help to so many more people. And I want to say thank you in advance. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or you can text the word MATCH to 28950.
Club New Life changes lives.
You guys came along into my life in 2022. That was a really, really difficult year of my life.
You can help New Life Ministries provide Christ-centered hope and counseling resources to thousands of people by joining Club New Life today.
I began to really process a lot of things that I've needed to for a long time, and y'all were a very big part of that.
When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, you'll make a difference in the lives of individuals and families with godly counsel and connection to help.
I came out of it having never experienced anything like that, and y'all were there.
Join today and help continue the message of hope to a troubled world.
I knew I had to keep going, and I joined Club New Life, and y'all have been the resource that has now been a light for my wife and I.
Go to newlife.com/CNL, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places.
Keep doing what you do, because it makes a difference.
newlife.com/CNL. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
As people tune in to New Life Live, listen to teachings, or connect with a counselor or coach, your gift makes it possible for them to receive help when they need it most. And through the end of the year, your gift goes twice as far because of a $475,000 matching gift. So if you give a dollar, it becomes $2. If you give $20, it's $40. $400 becomes $800, etc., etc. This is amazing, guys. 1-800-NEW-LIFE is the number to call to make your donation of any amount. Or you can go online to newlife.com/match or text 28950 to, no, you text match to 28950. I knew I was going to get that confused one day. Text match to 28950 and take advantage of this matching gift that's going on right now. It's great. Tomorrow is Giving Tuesday, but you don't want to do it tomorrow. Do it today in case you forget tomorrow, in case I forget to remind you, which I'm sure I will not forget to remind you, but I would suggest you do it today. Anyway. Again, newlife.com, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, or text MATCH to 28950. Back to the phones now. 1-800-229-3000 is how you can reach us in the studio. Here is Elizabeth, who is listening in Manchester, New Hampshire. And your mom told you about us. Hey, Elizabeth.
Hey, yeah. I'm super nervous because I think my mom's probably listening right now. But yes, she told me about you guys. I've been listening ever since, and a lot of your programs have helped me overcome a lot of things.
Wow. Well, hello to Elizabeth's mom, I must say. How can we help you?
So there's a lot to it, but I'll keep it brief. So I've been in like a very highly unsafe, not physically, but emotionally unsafe and toxic relationship that I'm trying to finally disconnect from. But beyond that, I just feel like lost in my career choice. I'm a nurse, but I'm very, very burnt out. And I don't know, like, I really don't know what my calling is. So I'm just kind of confused and lost about a lot of things.
How long have you been a nurse, Elizabeth?
So I'm in recovery, or I just celebrated 9 years, but I graduated in 06 and I was out of work for probably about 10 to 11 years. I've been back in for about six.
Okay. And what about the job do you find is burning you out the most?
So I work in a men's prison. I love the job itself, but the building was built in the 1800s. It's very unhealthy. The admin is just very corrupt, and it's hard to, like, not pay attention to that because I've seen things happen that are totally wrong, and I've been targeted by them. Myself being in recovery, it's difficult. And prior to that, I worked on a street medicine team with the homeless, which was like my dream job. I love that population, but that became very toxic administratively as well.
Wow.
So I left.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mark, what would you say to Elizabeth?
Yeah, well, Elizabeth, I love nurses. Literally, my mom is a retired nurse and my wife is a nurse. So, and I worked with nurses for many years. So I know what just an amazing job nurses do. But you give of yourself. And so it makes sense that there's moments that you can experience burnout because it's a job that you are doing a lot of giving. The great thing about nursing is that there's so many different fields that you can go into with nursing. And so there's a bunch of different options. You mentioned that you were out of nursing for about 10 to 11 years. What was the reason for that? Was that because you said that you're in recovery now?
Yeah. So I lost my license. I was diverting medication back when I lost it. And, you know, that was the beginning of, like, a very serious heroin addiction. I shouldn't even be alive. I had 9 strokes. Oh. I was in the hospital in a coma for 2 weeks and then came out of it and was paralyzed and severely brain damaged. So really, like, it's the Lord that saved me. And, you know, after battling that and losing my brother
It's okay, Elizabeth.
Yeah, so we lost him from a heroin overdose. And, you know, I decided to go to a program actually called New Life, and it's a faith-based program. It saved my life.
Wow.
So I just feel like, you know, God has a higher purpose for me, and I don't know what that is. But... Yeah,
you've had a lot of loss. Wow, and you've been through a lot here. But I'm also thinking about here, you mentioned, you know, before you even talked about burnout, that you were in an unsafe relationship that you're trying to disconnect. And, you know, relationships are so significant for us, especially romantic relationships. You know, that tends to take a toll on our whole outlook on everything that we're doing in life. Tell us a little bit about that relationship and your efforts to break free from there.
He's just, like, he's not a bad person. He's never tried to harm me physically, and I don't think he ever would because I'm very athletic. So I feel like, you know, in that sense, I don't think he would try, or I don't think he would anyway. But emotionally, he's constantly accusing me of, like, being with other people or lying to him. And at this point in my life, like, if I start to lie or anything, those are red flags, so I refuse to do it. I'm very honest. I'm very upfront, and I'm a Christian. So,
all right, Elizabeth, you know, we've got to take a break. We're going to we got to go to break. I'm going to put you on hold really quick. We'll continue our conversation when we come back. We're talking to Elizabeth, and we want to talk to you too. 1-800-229-3000.
Are you ready for the holidays, or are you dreading the holidays? Well, we have a new webinar, and it's called Healthy Holiday Boundaries. The holiday season often brings joy, but it also can bring pressure, guilt, and emotional overwhelm. Healthy Holiday Boundaries is a 90-minute faith-based webinar. You'll learn how to protect your peace, manage expectations, and set healthy limits without guilt. Whether you're facing family tensions, an overcommitted schedule, or emotional fatigue, this webinar will help you reclaim calm and connection. This isn't just information, it's an invitation.
The Healthy Holidays Boundaries webinar is Wednesday evening, December 10th. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go online to newlife.com. Experience the freedom Christ offers and discover how to give your best yes and your healthiest no this holiday season. 1-800-639-5433. Do you need help for life's hard situations?
My husband recently said he wanted a divorce.
I'm confused on what I should do.
I have an eating disorder.
New Life Live answers your questions on relationships, grief, addiction, trauma, anxiety, and much more, all from a biblical perspective with our panel of professional counselors and psychologists.
I learn a lot from your program.
You help so many people.
I appreciate your ministry.
Whether you listen or watch, there are so many ways to connect with us to ask our panel of counselors a question. Call us Monday through Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific at 1-800-229-3000 to ask your question on New Life Live. Or go to newlife.com/radio for other ways to get your question answered.
I'm trying to find help.
I just want to know how to set boundaries.
If it's a sin, what am I supposed to do?
Need a therapist or a coach, a resource or an intensive? Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're speaking with Elizabeth in New Hampshire. You still with us, Elizabeth?
I am, yeah.
Okay. Jim, what would you say?
Yeah, you know, Elizabeth, I've been listening, and I think Mark gave some great input. And we were really talking, you know, about you as a nurse and, you know, not really loving the job that you're in and whatnot. And then... But you started and led with, you felt you were in an unsafe, toxic relationship. And I thought it was interesting because you said, I'm trying to break that off. And I guess I would ask the question, why haven't you broken it off yet?
Hmm. That's a good question. I think a lot of it stems from, like, the loss of my brother and me.
Uh-huh.
Right. It's like a trauma response. Like, I feel bad letting this person go because what if something happened?
Yeah. Do you feel responsible for him? You don't think if you broke up, do you think he would do something unsafe, or what do you mean by that?
No, but every time I try to break it off, he comes back with, oh, my grandfather died, or, oh, right. So like this is, like, I'm his, I feel like I've been the only positive person in his life, and I feel like if part of me, like, have to continue that at my own expense because you know he's not I've been off and on with him for almost 7 years. He's never met my family, and they're the most important people to me in this world, you know. So it's just nothing that's adding to me spiritually or emotionally,
right
in that sense. It's bad, you know.
Right. And so I understand it's really complicated, but one of the things when you're looking at a career change, not necessarily, you might still be in nursing, but when you're looking at a career change, because that's not going well and, you know, whatever, I think you got to make one decision at a time, and you honestly may need to break this off in order for you to have clarity when it comes to the other issues of your life, because all of a sudden your job, you know, as you talked about a nurse, there were certain things you loved about it. And maybe that is a part of your calling. I mean, you seem to be that kind of a person. But when you are living in a toxic, unsafe type of a situation, relationship with him, you may have to get the courage to make that, you know, decision, even though I realize that there's some messiness to doing that, too. But I think I heard you say, you're not responsible for his happiness. You're not responsible for that. I mean, you're responsible for, making sure that you're living for God and living the best life you can live. And if that's not working out in that, then you might want to talk with a relationship counselor who could help you with the process of the breakup. And no breakup is easy. I mean, I've got to go get, I was telling Larry Sonnenberg here in the studio, I was going to have to go get two shots. And I said, I'm not looking forward to it. Well, I'm a wimp. Well, when it comes to what you have to go through, that's tough because it's going to hurt and there's going to be pain. But it honestly may, before freedom comes pain. So you may have to look at some of the pain of what it would take, because if you've been with him for 7 years and you still are saying he's unsafe and toxic, that probably means he's not the right guy for you. Mm. And you can't stay with him because of him. You've got to stay with him because you love him and you believe this is the right thing. I didn't hear that. So I think it's important for you to, get around somebody who can help you even people text and break up after 7 years. And I just think that's not the right thing. But, go through the tough thing. And he's going to try to talk you out of it. I get it. So, I'm with somebody tomorrow where I'm going to rehearse. They're in an estrangement situation. And I'm going to rehearse what he's going to say to his dad. Mm. And, sometimes if you're with somebody, they're in Manchester, New Hampshire, and you say, hey, let me rehearse what I'm going to say. What do you think? And maybe they can give you some wisdom and insight, too.
So when like you said right now, that he's going to try to talk her back or say, oh, no, or something will come up, some other family drama will come up, and I need you. Right. In the same way, Elizabeth, that your mom told you to call us, maybe you just tell him, here, call New Life, 1-800-229-3000. They can help you because you can't be the person all the time that he goes to.
Right. Read Mark's book.
Yes.
Seriously.
Yes. This one, Understanding Your Attachment Style.
And I'm honestly, sometimes, we all need a breakthrough, and sometimes even like Mark's book would be a great breakthrough book for both Elizabeth and probably this guy to read, but not because they're going to try to get together, but more just because they can understand, how to grow in their own personal growth. I think it's a personal growth book in a big way.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it is. And Elizabeth, healthy relationships have balance. And when they don't have balance, then codependency occurs, right? And you're dependent upon him in a certain way, and he's dependent upon you. And that's how the cycle continues. And when codependency occurs, we start to make decisions out of fear rather than love. Mm. And when we make decisions out of fear, they're typically bad decisions. And so this, I think it does. I think it highlights an area of growth in you, because when you grow in that area, when you can break codependency, then you can make decisions out of love. Love for yourself and love for others. And as Jim's saying, oftentimes growth, the nature of growth is pain and discomfort. And this is showing an area of discomfort in you. And I think there probably is a chapter in my book that describes your attachment style. And I outline in the book just the areas of growth that each attachment style needs to take, just the practical daily things. And, as you do it, you get to freedom. Yeah. And you get to healing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Elizabeth, I actually wrote the word codependent, and I didn't bring it up. But I wonder if you have some codependency in you, and that's why you're staying in that. And codependency, speaking as a person who can be a codependent, it's exhausting. It's just exhausting. Yeah. And when I'm playing Jim the codependent in one of several relationships, I'm too exhausted to make good decisions. I don't make the right decision because I'm too exhausted, trying to please everybody else. And, honestly, that may be something that is worth you looking at, talking with somebody. And maybe one of the reasons you called was to get a recommendation, from Megan. By the way, it's her birthday. So if you talk to her, she's the screener. A recommendation of a counselor who could help you work through some of that. That may really help you with all of the stuff we're talking about.
Right. I think I would benefit from that.
For sure. The book, Mark's book, it comes out tomorrow. It's called Understanding Your Attachment Style. It's available in the newlife.com store. But we're going to send you a copy of How We Love, which is also available at newlife.com. So thanks for calling in today, Elizabeth. 1-800-229-3000 is our number. And now let's talk to Tom in Atlanta, Georgia, who's listening to us on Sirius XM, channel 131. Hey, Tom.
Hi.
Hi there. What's going on?
Well, I was
It was suggested that I call you from one of the. I called about some of your other groups, intimacy and marriage and stuff, and I shared with him a situation I have, and he said I should call. You guys might be able to give some insight.
Okay.
So, what it is that my daughter, who is 35 years old, sent me a text and said that in the therapy session that she recollected that I, when she was 11 or 12, that I touched her inappropriately, and at some other time, I was flirtatious with her on the phone, and I, in my being, I know that that's not the case, but I still want to know what's the most edifying way to respond, you know, other than, you know, you're wrong, it didn't happen. I don't think that would be useful.
Mark, what would you say?
Yeah, wow, what a situation, Tom. I think the first thing to do is to get together with her if she's willing. I mean, it sounds like she wants to communicate with you, at least wants to tell you what's going on with her because she sent you a text message. So I would invite her, and if she feels safer with someone else there, like her mom, and invite that other person to be there. I mean, that's great too, because it also, you know, gives you a witness to how you're responding here. But I would just sit, and the first thing that I would do is, and I know it's hard in this situation because someone's accusing you of something that you didn't do, but just sit and just kind of hear her out and hear what she has to say. And just give her that space. And as she outlines it, just kind of, you know, nod, ask follow-up, you know, thoughtful follow-up questions, and just let her get it out. I mean, it's possible that, again, she could be misinterpreting something that you did. It's possible that, you know, something happened and you know, you have a blind spot and you're not seeing it. And it's also possible that she's misremembering something that happened to her that somebody else did. And in her mind, it's been transposed to you. And so I think the first thing to do is just to have that conversation and show her that you're willing to listen, you're willing to hear her out, and you're willing to try and help be part of her healing in this.
We're coming up to our break, Jim, so we'll come back to you, Tom. But I remember a phone call we had a few months ago here on New Life. A similar situation took place, and I don't remember which co-host was here on the program that day, but they asked the caller, so have you ever had any, and we're not saying this is you, Tom, but have you ever had any problems with drug or alcohol use where you, it's possible that you did do something and you just don't remember it because... Yeah. You know, you were under the influence or something. So we're not, again, we're not saying this is what happened here, Tom. We'll continue our conversation with you when we come back here on New Life Live. We're only in the studio for an hour today at 1-800-229-3000. We'll talk to you. We'll finish our conversation with you as well. If you're watching online right now, thanks for watching, and tell your friends about us as well.
We've been married 33 years. We attended the Intimacy and Marriage Workshop. Even though we've read books or attended a few other marriage weekends, this was certainly different and a lot more intensive than initially that we thought.
When you come to Intimacy in Marriage, you're going to be immersed into a 3-day process.
Was not really sure exactly what to expect, but the idea of learning to really understand intimacy was intriguing. We had been in the same patterns of struggle over and over again.
If you've thought, I don't think we can ever change, we're just in this rut and we can't get out, the Intimacy in Marriage Workshop can help you get out of the rut.
The Intimacy in Marriage Weekend is February 13th to the 15th in Orange County, California. Register online at newlife.com or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and use the code NLL for a discount. 1-800-639-5433.
I would highly recommend it.
For over 35 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addiction, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
I found a counselor through New Life Ministries, and it's just been outstanding.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be
is.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first steps toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door for a better tomorrow.
To get someone that's competent, that's good at what they do, it's been like day and night compared to what I've had before.
Call 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
And let's go back to Tom in Atlanta. And Jim, I think you wanted to ask him a question.
You know, Tom, I really appreciate the wisdom you're taking. Instead of going right at it and being, you know, we can always get defensive on something like that, and that typically doesn't work. Defensiveness kind of sometimes stops good communication. So I would agree with Mark that I think you come at it by saying, you know what, I have no recollection. I have no memory. That's not me. That's never been my intent. It's not even in my head. But I might not just do it with her, but I might do it with the counselor. I was going to just add that Mark and I talked about it at the break, because the counselor has already heard her view, and now she meets you. And if she's willing to do that, I could see some reconciliation. And, you know, the touching and then the flirting, you got to hear, listen really carefully. What do you mean flirting? Because, you know, I'm a dad to daughters who are that age. And I'll look at them sometimes and just go, you are absolutely drop dead gorgeous. Well, if they didn't know I was the dad, they'd go, who is this, you know, old guy saying that? But, you know, you can do things. That's what dads can do that. But if she took it from a negative view, why would she take it from a negative view, or whatever the flirting was? You got to learn what that is. And it may just be something that made her feel uncomfortable. That's more about her than you. But also, if it's something that she said, well, this makes me feel uncomfortable, then that's something you've learned for the rest of your life, that that's not where you're going to, how you're going to, you know, affirm your daughter or whatever it might be. But I really would do exactly what he said. I would take that time, listen. Now, you want to be able to say, well, of course I didn't do that, blah, blah, blah. Don't do that. Just listen, take it in and say, you know, I'm sorry, so sorry that you felt that way. Anytime when we're in a situation like that, if we don't agree with them, we can still say, I'm so sorry you feel that way. Now you're putting them at ease. And I want this relationship to work, and I would never want to do that, blah, blah, blah. Especially if we don't see another history with you on that, or even as Brian was talking about with the, you know, drinking or whatever, where that can happen at times, of course. But if you're clean on this, then the way to do it is to put it right out in the open and talk about the elephant in the room, because she brought up in an elephant into the room that you never had heard of. So that's what I would do, and do it with the same gentleness that you have right now when you were talking to us. Mm-hmm. Do it with the same tone. I want this to work. You know, you are my daughter. I love you. You know, those kind of things. And I think there's good hope that this could be reconciled. What do you think about that?
Tom, what do you think?
It all sounds good. I'm willing to do it. I just wanted to say that I think that her comment is couched in the fact that I had shared with her some time ago that I had been, you know, physically and sexually abused as a child.
Yeah.
Okay. And that I had concerns about repeating that behavior. I told her, I don't understand the pathology, but then I read some books and stuff like that, and then I realized that that wasn't the case. It doesn't have to happen. And I left that with her, but I think it's coming out of that also.
Yeah, you know, if you would have brought that particular statement up at the very beginning, we probably would have had a little conversation about that, because the counselor probably would pick up on that. And let's face it, there is a generational side to abuse. Not always, like you just said, Tom, but you might have, you know, inadvertently put that into her mind because of how you shared that. And, you know, that's a good, you know, it's an open, honest, authentic thing to share. But at the same time, that might be, depending on how your daughter's doing and what her life is, you might have burdened her with something. I've had to learn that sometimes we don't say everything we think to our own, even to our own family, just because they may take it in a different direction. She might have taken that in a different direction. That's something to explore. You're bringing up, you know, that truly is something to explore. And I guarantee you, she talked to the counselor about it.
All right. We're going to send you a copy of Doing Life with Your Adult Children. Thanks so much for calling in today to New Life Live. And let's now go to Dan in Baltimore, Maryland on WAVA is how Dan listens. Hey, Dan, what's your question for us today?
Yes, good afternoon. I have a spouse who has a device addiction. Her phone rarely leaves her hands 24/7. Any helpful hints or suggestion for helping her overcome that addiction? I've tried to help her a couple of times. I said, well, how about if we take a device Sabbath, both of us, all right? I think even Charlie Kirk did this, as I recall. He would shut off all his devices on Saturdays and just spend the time with his family. I said, what if we take Sunday? And of course, we'll bring our phones with us when we go to church, but they'll remain off and off the whole day. But she is just constantly, every day, takes it into the bedroom with her. Wherever she goes, that phone is with her.
And what is she doing on the phone? Is it just searching social media or?
Mostly okay. Social media. Okay. Yeah, watching videos and stuff.
Yeah. Mark?
Yeah. So basically, her being on the phone is limiting your connection with her. You're wanting to engage with her. You're wanting to have talks with her. You're wanting to go on walks with her, but she's on her phone, and so that's limiting that connection. Is that what you're saying here, Dan?
No. I mean, anytime I want to, I'll come down. For example, she's typically at our dining room table looking at that or doing a Bible, preparing for a Bible study or whatever. She spends a lot of time studying the Word and preparing. She's a leader of a women's group. And I can come and sit down with her and then start talking with her. But so that's not really an issue. I think we have adequate time. There are other issues in our marriage we're working on. But this particular one, she kind of at the foundation of this, she readily admits, and I think everyone agrees, especially her boss who loves her for this, is that she has OCD tendencies. And like if you walk and look in the pantry, all the cans are faced exactly in the front to the front. When she hangs up clothes, they're within millimeters of the same distance apart the hangers are. So she kind of takes pride in it, and it helps her at her work. She works in the medical field, and they love her there.
Yeah, so that is a lot. So I think you've got to decide or figure out how is this limiting your relationship with her, and then that's the conversation that you start with her. You start with how it's affecting you and how it's affecting intimacy as a whole, rather than this is just, you know, I don't understand why you do this. I think it's unnecessary and it bothers me. I think if you lead with something like that, it's probably not going to go well. But if you start with how it's impacting you, you're more likely to have productive conversation. We're running really low on time here, so I'm going to let Jim jump in.
A question I would have is, has she acknowledged her, what we'll call it, her addiction to her device?
Other than when I asked her about taking a device Sabbath, she said, yeah, I can do that, but then she won't do that.
Right,
it's like,
right,
I don't want to do that. I don't want to do it.
Right, right. Because I find that people, motivation helps when they acknowledge what their issue is. And so it sounds like she's only sort of kind of, maybe, you know, doing that. And so it may be good to try to get her, not by coaxing her, but really doing more what Mark was saying, but try to get her to acknowledge that she has this problem. And then, you know, there are even programs she could look at, and even some Christian programs that help you work through addiction issues. And to be honest, a lot of the same thing with an addiction to a device is it could be an addiction to drugs or alcohol or porn or whatever it might be. And that works. I mean, I even know somebody who's in a small group, accountability group, for that purpose. It's really working because of the accountability side, but they have to come up with it on their own. And so I want you to try to get her to acknowledge that she has this issue. And she seems like the kind of person in Bible study that, you know, would go and then try to get that help. Find the resources. They're out there.
Yeah. We'll send you a copy of Created for Connection from the newlife.com store, and we think you too would benefit from the Intimacy and Marriage Intensive that's coming up in February in Orange County, California. Speaking of intensives, every man's battle for guys that are dealing with sexual integrity issues, that begins this weekend. You can find out all about it. There's still time to register. Go to newlife.com or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll talk to you tomorrow on New Life Live.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.
The preceding program was pre-recorded.